We're going to have our Bible reading now, and Pete Davis is going to come and read to us from Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to Romans 12, verse 2. You can see the page number on the screen. Do grab a Bible if you've got one just near you. Thanks, Pete.
So Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you can find it on page 1139. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will.
Thanks, Pete. Well, this morning's sermon is in two parts, and in the middle, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. To help us really understand those two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So, going to just share a bit for about 10 minutes, and we'll pause, we'll have communion, and we'll finish off the rest of the passage afterwards. It's a sermon of two parts this morning. Or, you're getting two sermons for the price of one. Bargain. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. One of my childhood memories was playing football at my grandparents' house. I was about 6 years old. They lived in a village. They had a small house. They had a well-kept front garden. And it was one of those moments when time stood still. It was a wonderful Ronaldo free kick. And it soared towards the house and smashed through a huge dining room window, top right-hand corner. It couldn't have been better. And it was a terrifying but most satisfying sound. I can still hear it. As well as it being followed by shrieks from my grandparents. They faced a shower of broken glass. Followed by, "Peter, what have you done?" Funny, really. You'd have thought it was quite obvious. I remember getting quite a telling off that day. Hooligan Hitchcock had to be corrected. But my grandparents were kind people. Granddad was a farmer. He had a low wage. Someone had to pay. I remember standing at the counter of the hardware store as he ordered a new pane of glass and very graciously explain why he needed it when asked. I wanted to disappear. And then as he handed over his hard-earned cash, I felt very, very small. He'd been rightly angry at my carelessness, but rather than treating me as I deserved and making me pay, well, he treated me with kindness and paid the price. And kindness is a powerful thing. Kindness wins our hearts. It captures our affections. It can change our behavior. It gives us hope. And at the heart of the Christian life is kindness. Not our kindness, although that should be there, but the kindness of God to us. I wonder how you answer the question. Maybe you've been asked it this morning. How have things been with you? Or as you've reflected on the past year, this new year, how have you summed it up? It's quite a hard thing to do to sum up a year, isn't it? How has it been? But if you're a Christian, there ought to be an answer that is the constant background music of your life. And it's this: God has been kind to me. God has been kind to me. God has shown me his patience, his compassion, his mercy. He's had pity on me. That is the truest answer that a Christian can give. Now, the past year, some of you have had such sad times. The joys of this life, they are mixed with dashed hopes in relationships, huge pressures in the workplace, deteriorating health, the death of those who are close to us, medical, financial worries, not to mention our ongoing inner battle with temptation and with doubts and with sin. And so it's really easy to say when things have been hard, well, things have been pretty hard, in a way that suggests we've been hard done by. And the Apostle Paul appeals to Christians in Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, the truest answer that a Christian can give to how have you been is every day of the past year, God has been kind to me. Now that may not be how you view it today. You may be a long way away from that. Maybe your view of God's mercy, his kindness, is clouded by life's worries, by life's sadness. Or maybe your view of God's kindness is rather dim. Pride in yourself blinds you to your need of God's kindness. You know, one of the devil's oldest tricks is to portray God as the persecutor and to portray us as the victims. And he encourages us to forget this sweet music of God's kindness. And he does that by turning up, and we do that by turning up full volume, the music both of life's trials and life's joys, so that we live in view of them. They're what we hear. We're shaped by them, instead of living in view of and being shaped by the mercy of God to us in Jesus. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, the music of both life's trials and life's joys, they may be loud in your ears. They may fill your screen this morning so that you live in view of them. But let me tell you this, the music of God's grace has a bigger amp. It goes louder. So let's turn up the volume past 10, past 100, into the thousands, and let's listen to the beat. God has been kind to me. He's paid the price. Let's look at verse 1 again in chapter 12. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, and in that little phrase there, he's saying, in view that all I've written so far in Romans chapter 1 to 11, where he's spoken of the mercy of God. So Romans 1 to 3. When we started this series in Romans a while back, we saw the wrath of God is being justly revealed from heaven, because by nature the direction of our lives is away from God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. I don't know what you think of this as a description of our hearts. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It's not saying we're like that all of the time, actively, but those things are there. The seed of all those sins, they're in our hearts, worked out in our lives and our words. We are undeserving. But God has been kind. He's paid the price. Chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. The sacrifice that was needed to make us one with God, reconciled to God through the shedding of His blood, to be received by faith. So the kindness of God is seen in the death of His Son Jesus to pay the price for sin. That is where you see the kindness of God. You know, my granddad's kindness in paying the price for the window, well, it is a tiny, tiny, tiny reflection of the humbling kindness of God to those who trust in Jesus for forgiveness. The price is paid. And what a huge price it was for God the Father. Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it means if you're a Christian, there is no more condemnation for you. God doesn't condemn you, because there's forgiveness in Christ. And you can know this, that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, to make them like Jesus. God has been kind. He's paid the price. So that from eternity past, I can say as a believer, He knew me and He predestined me. And then there came a time in my life when He called me, when I came to faith in Christ, and I was justified, I was made right with God. And there's a day coming when He's going to glorify me with Him in the future. And this kindness of God, it is unstoppable. It's like an unstoppable movement that started way back in eternity past. And it joyfully marches through time. And it goes on and on and on throughout the endless ages of eternity. So that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God has mercy on whom He will have mercy. He has compassion on whom He will have compassion. His kindness, it is sovereign and it is unstoppable. And it flows out like a flood in different directions, to religious people, to irreligious people, all over the world, as God gathers in His people. This is what Paul has been writing about in Romans chapters 1 to 11. God has been kind to me. He's paid the price. And it is an astounding thing. It's a powerful thing. When you see it, it wins your heart. It captures your imagination. It captures your affections. It changes behavior. It gives us hope. And Paul is calling us in verses 1 and 2, in view of God's mercy, to live a certain way.